Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when his son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Shall we pray before we look at God's word together? Father, we thank you that your word shows us what you are like. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand your heart of compassion for us. And, Father, that we can respond to love you back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus pursues the lost because they are precious to him. Not sure when, can you think of the time you had your last celebration? Maybe it was a birthday or graduation, reunion, or maybe it was a wedding and there's dancing and celebration. You married the person that you loved and you were happy. When do we have celebrations? We have celebrations when we are happy, isn't it? When we've got good results for an exam, we celebrate. Or when you scored that goal and you're just thrilled that you scored a goal, like, whoa, you're really happy. And today we are looking at what makes God happy. When does God open the champagne bottle and throw a party? This passage tells us the answer. A bit of context, what's going on? From verses 1 and 2, we know that there are two groups of people. We've got the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the teachers of the law on one hand, and we've also got the tax collectors and sinners gathered there. So these two groups of people. But one group, the religious leaders, the Pharisee, the tax collector, they don't like the other group. They had a low view of them. They looked down on them. They looked down on them because tax collectors worked for the Romans. And they were the enemy because they were collecting taxes for the Romans. And often the tax collectors also collected more than what was required and kept it for themselves. What if someone collected more taxes from you? I'm sure you wouldn't like them either, isn't it? So the tax collectors had a really bad reputation. They were outcasts of society. And sinners likewise, they were the immoral. So the religious Pharisees and teachers of the law looked down on the tax collectors and the sinners. So what did that result in? It resulted in a bit of no contact, no communication. So the religious leaders never ate or never made friends with tax collectors or sinners, those who were outcasts in society. And when they see Jesus welcoming these people and eating with them, they are really not happy. In fact, they are grumbling. In verse 2, they grumble and they say this about Jesus. They say, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them? Yuck." So when Jesus tells this parable, he is explaining or defending why he behaves the way he does. He's explaining why does he welcome sinners and eat with them. It's interesting. How would you describe Jesus? If I asked you to describe Jesus in a sentence, you might say Jesus is the Son of God, or Jesus is a holy man, Jesus is a teacher, a prophet. Like, they would have had all these descriptions. But would you describe Jesus in this way? This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And that was how you describe Jesus when you want to tell what Jesus is like, and you describe him to your friends. They said that this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. In verse 3, notice that when Jesus goes on to tell the parable is singular. So it's not three parables, it's one parable with three stories. The story about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons. So we're going to go through it together. In the story of the lost sheep, there's a shepherd, and he leaves 99 sheep, and he goes after the one sheep that's lost. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts the sheep on his shoulder and goes home. He calls his friends and his neighbors together, and he says, "Rejoice with me. Be happy with me. I have found my lost sheep." The thing to remember about lost sheep is that the lost sheep can't find its way home. So the shepherd has to go looking for the lost sheep. And what emotion does the shepherd feel when he finds his lost sheep? The shepherd feels joy. He feels overjoyed. He's thrilled. He's so thrilled that he actually comes home and he throws a party. He invites his neighbors and friends, and he opens the champagne and he celebrates. "I have found my lost sheep." He's thrilled. So that's the lost sheep. In the second story, it's the same. Suppose you lost something that was valuable to you. You lost your wallet. And in that wallet, you have a check for 50,000 Australian dollars. Now, that's a lot of money, isn't it? Okay, so you're searching all the places that you went, you're retracing your steps and figuring out where could I have dropped it, where did I go, and you check and you call people and you find out, and imagine if you found your wallet, 50K. Okay, folks, we're having a party. Come on and celebrate with me. You'll be thrilled, isn't it? You'll be overjoyed because you found something that was precious to you. Shepherds celebrate when they find their lost sheep. The woman celebrates when she finds her lost coin. God celebrates when sinners are found. That's the point of both stories. In verse 7, it says, "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And again, in verse 10, "In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Isn't that amazing? It tells us what God is like. Question, why such a big celebration? Let's imagine that you leave the church today and I've lost my bulletin. Now, if I were to find my bulletin, I'm not going to throw a party and call any of you for the finding bulletin party, because the bulletins are not that important. I just want to thank the office staff for preparing the book. Okay, what stays at church stays in church. Please don't repeat this outside. Okay. I mean, relatively. The bulletins are important, but just for that time, for that week. Okay, put it that way. But if Jean, let's say Jean was extremely sick and she nearly passed away, and then she recovers. Okay, that's not the end. She recovers. Then I would celebrate. I would be really, 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 really glad. Isn't it? We celebrate when something is really important to us. That's why the shepherd and the woman go, they have a celebration because they found something that was important to them. They go to great lengths to look and to find and to bring back something that's important to them. Why would the shepherd leave the 99 sheep to go and look for that one lost sheep? Because that one lost sheep is valuable to him. Why would the woman get down on her knees and look diligently for the lost coin? Because the coin was valuable to her. Why does Jesus welcome sinners and eat with them? Because sinners are valuable to him. God is really happy when the lost are found. Heaven throws a big party when sinners turn to God. There's a celebration because the lost are precious to God. You're here today and you might be sitting there thinking, no one cares for me, that I am unimportant, just one person in this crowd of many. But God says to you that you are precious to him, that you are valuable to him. If you are a Christian, know that Jesus came looking for you because you are precious to him. Know that there was a party in heaven the day that you became a Christian, because you are valuable to God. If you have not come to trust in Jesus, know that Jesus is seeking you. That he is seeking you because you are precious to him. Even now, through this message, he is seeking you. He is calling you to come to him. And when you come to him, there will be a great party in heaven, a great celebration. So friends, this is my first point. The lost are precious to God. The lost are precious to God. How can we apply this? How can we apply this? So this week, I want to throw a challenge to go and share this story with one of your friends. It can be someone you're comfortable with, a Christian, a non-Christian, your mom. You can share it with your mom and dad, maybe. Share it with anyone you're comfortable with. Tell them this story and tell them that they are precious to God. If you don't want to tell the story, then you can just, if someone asks you, how was your week? How was your weekend? Then you can say, oh, it was great. I learned that people are precious to God. Just throw in that line there and it's like, what happened there? And they may ask you to why, or they may say, okay, yeah, and move on. But that's fine. Throw in that sentence in there. I think the longer that we come to church, the number of non-Christians friends that we have tend to reduce because, church consumes a lot of our time and, we like to mix with one another and to encourage one another. But another way that we can apply this is to make sure that we keep on having friends, Christian and non-Christian friends. Why? Because they are precious to God. They have been made in His image. A specific application, if you're in YA, this year in YA, we've got 3 weeks that we will meet on Tuesday, and then the fourth week is an off week where we are not meeting. So I want to encourage, challenge you, in that fourth week, maybe some of the fourth weeks you can get together and have a social activity. Your YA group with your non-Christian friends, hang out together, spend time with each other. Why? Because they are precious to God. So that's my first point. The lost are precious to God. My second point is, Jesus pursues the lost because they are precious to God. Jesus pursues the lost because they are precious to God. So we're going to look at the third story, which has two parts, how Jesus pursues the younger brother and then Jesus pursues the older brother. So let's look at the younger brother. Verse 11, Jesus tells this story. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property among them. In Jewish custom, this is not a done thing. I think even in our custom, it's not a done thing. Imagine if you're a teenager and you go to your dad and say, "Father, give me the house that we are living in." Like, you would never say that to your dad. In Jewish custom, the property is divided between the sons when the father passes away. So to even talk about it is so rude, so brash. It would have been a stab to the father's heart that the son were to approach this subject and to talk about it. So most of the hearers of the story would have expected what would happen next is the father would take the back of his hand and give the son a slap. But what the father does here is unheard of. The father actually consents. The father actually divides the property between both sons. So what happens next? The younger son has all this money, so excited. He goes off to the far country and he spends his money. I guess in our terms, it's someone in his late teens. He gets his dad's money and he goes to the city. Sydney, I want to live in the city. And accommodation, no problem. He gets a 5-star hotel and he pays and he orders food to the room because he can do that. He's got all this money. And then he goes and has a yum cha at Marigold every day. Yum cha. He invites all his friends. Then after yum cha, his belly is filled. He goes gaming at the Hunter, keep on gaming, and this is all he does every day, day in, day out, and he's enjoying his life. But one thing he doesn't do is he doesn't check his bank balance. And after some time, all the money runs out. So that's what it's like. That's what it's like. The money runs out, and we are told that there is a famine in the land. So the younger son is hungry. He gets the worst job for a Jewish boy. The Jews, they don't do pigs. Like they don't, yeah, pigs, no pigs, yeah, okay. So the younger son is really desperate for him to get this job. It's like the lowest of the lowest job. But he gets this job and he says, I'd rather eat what the pigs eat than starve. And even then it says, no one gives him anything. So even the pig food he doesn't get, he isn't given the pig food. So it's in this lowest of situation, he's really desperate and he's in need, that he comes to himself. The translation says he comes to his senses, but actually it says it comes to himself. And so he thinks, you know, when you're in that moment, when you're in need, your mind starts to work and you're problem solving. So this is him problem solving. He thinks aloud. We get a glimpse into his motives of the heart. He says this, many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, but here I'm dying of starvation. So the motive for going home is not that he's sorry. He's not repentant. He's not sorry that he's wounded and broken his father's heart. His motive for going home is to fill his stomach with food. He's starving. He needs food. So he comes up with a plan. Okay, how do I fill my stomach? Okay, this is what I'll do. I will get up and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants. So this is not repentance. It's him saying what he needs to say to get what he really wants. And isn't that like us sometimes? Sometimes we say the right things because we want something. We want something else. Because our motives are impure. So, for example, you bully your younger brother, and your mom says, say sorry or you won't get to go out this afternoon with your friends. What do? You're a smart person. You say sorry. But you're not really sorry. You just say what you do. You say what you need to say so that you get what you really want. The movies. Going out with your friends. And so that's what's happening here. The younger brother has a speech, a rehearsed speech that he's going to use, and so he's heading home. What would you do? What would you do if you were dad and your son dissed you? If your son treated you so badly that it broke your heart, it wounded your heart, what would you do? You would feel anger, you would feel hurt, you would feel disappointment. The father would have helped to deal with all these emotions. The hurt because his son wanted the inheritance while he was still alive. The shame and humiliation of a son who left home, and the loss of a good name in the community as people spoke about this son. Oh, you didn't bring up your son. He's not a well brought up son. So anger, disappointment, hurt, all these feelings would have been felt by the father. It would have filled his heart with so many emotions when his son left. How would the father respond? How would the father respond? In verse 20, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. This is before the son said anything. So the father had dealt with his emotion. What filled his heart was compassion. It was compassion that caused him to run to the son, to throw his arms around him and to give him a good bear hug and to kiss him. And this gives us insight into what God the Father is like. God the Father is not reserved. He's not emotionally detached. He overflows with love and compassion. If we think of the culture of the day, we know that fathers don't run. This is a man who owns a big estate. He snaps his finger and servants come and give him service. Fathers don't run. Like boys might run. Fathers walked with dignity and stature. And it's really such a powerful image. You can't run when you're wearing long robes. For the father to run, he would have to lift up his robes and show his legs. And that's not a done thing. So he ran, robes held, putting aside his dignity and respectability. Why? Because he was overjoyed. He was full of happiness that his lost son was returning. Question. Why does Jesus welcome sinners and eat with them? Answer. Jesus does not only welcome sinners and eat with them. He would lift up his robes and run towards sinners and welcome and embrace them and kiss them. The lost are so precious to Jesus that he would lose all dignity and take the shame of hanging half naked on a cross. This is the extent of God's love for the lost. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them because they are precious to him. Let's look at the older brother briefly. So Jesus has just pursued the younger brother, and now Jesus is pursuing the older brother. So verse 25, the older son is in the field. He comes home, he hears music and dancing. He calls the servant and asks him, what's going on? And the servant says, oh, it's your brother. Your brother has returned and father has killed the fattened calf because he's got him back safe and sound. The older brother is really angry. So the father then goes out of the home and comes to the older brother to plead with him, to talk to him. But how does he speak to his dad? He says this, look. He doesn't even call him dad. He says, look. All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has squandered the property with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him? The older brother is mad. I mean, angry mad. And the father is the one in both situations going out of the home to go and seek reconciliation, going out to look for the son. He initiates with the younger son and here with the older son. The older son is really disrespectful to his father. He doesn't address him as father. He says, look. Why does he get mad? He gets mad. There's a bit of a celebration happening already. Why does he get mad? He gets mad because the fattened calf was slaughtered. So we need to understand, when the father divided the property between the younger son and the older son, so the younger son has taken his share and he's gone and spent it. So everything else belongs to the older son. So when the older son hears that the father has slaughtered the fattened calf, what he's thinking is, my money is being wasted on my useless younger brother. So that's what makes him mad. The more of the estate that is used by the father, the less he stands to inherit. He's angry that dad is wasting his money on his useless younger brother. So what we need to see is that the older brother is lost as well. For one thing, he seeks the gifts and not the giver. He wants his share of the inheritance. That's why he gets mad. He's serving dad for the inheritance. His motives are wrong. Two, he thinks he deserves the inheritance. He thinks that he's been working hard, and so it should be him. It's rightfully, it's his right. And sometimes it's easy for us as well. As Christians, we've been at church for a long time. If we've been serving the Lord for many years, it's easy for us to forget, to think that, oh, if I'm obedient, then I get heaven. It's easy for us to think, if I obey God, then He owes me these gifts. Sometimes it's easy for us to become like an older brother, where we serve God out of duty, but we feel more like a slave than a son. Sometimes it's easy for us to be judgmental of other people who are living a sinful lifestyle, rather than to befriend them and welcome them. We separate ourselves from them. So how does the father respond to the older son? In verse 31, my son, so tenderly he speaks to him, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. See, it's not about the money, it's about the relationship. You are my son, you are always with me. Friends, our motive for serving God is not to get stuff. Not that God will bless us and give us, yeah, the relationship that we want, or the job, or even heaven. Our motive for serving God is because we love God. So let us remember to enjoy the relationship that we have. We were the lost, and God came looking for us. He finds us, and He rejoices in us. We are sons and daughters. So let us enjoy the relationship. Let us seek the giver and not the gifts. And in our prayers, it will be reflected when in our prayers, we are not merely asking God for things, but we are also thanking God. Thanking God that we get to spend time with Him. So let me close by summarizing. Why does Jesus welcome sinners and eat with them? Because sinners are valuable to God. Lost younger brothers and lost older brothers. So let's spend a minute just quietly, processing what this passage has said to us and to talk to God silently. How about I'll close in prayer. Father, thank you for this picture that you give us. Yeah, that you are such a gracious, forgiving God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Lord, you do hold us accountable for our actions. And yet, Lord, you're so willing, Lord, so willing to embrace and to rescue us and to welcome us into your family. We just thank you for the cost to yourself by paying it with the price of your son. Thank you, Lord, for his death has secured our rescue, that we are in your family, that we are your children. Help us, Lord, to know that we are precious to you, and help us, Lord, to see people as precious in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.